Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popwich. How are you doing?
I'm great, Faisal. How are you?
Happy long weekend, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. Although we're working stiffs, I guess, working for the man in here, getting our show done on Saturday
working for
of the long
man.
Weekend.
I work for my kids. I don't know who you work for, but sure, we'll go with the man.
I got to meet the man one day. I think a fantastic show this week because we're going to talk about the potential consequences of global trade issues. And what could possibly happen if with the markets if, say we were punted out of NAFTA or NAFTA was torn up or the U.S. goes to global trade war with China? Let's try to get a sense in real terms what that means. It's scary for everybody, the headlines, but what is it actually?
There's two parts. There's an economic piece and then there's a forecast of the future of the economics and how it impacts companies, which is the stock market. And And we'll look at that as well.
And we've got our chief economist, Dr. Avery Shenfield, on today to talk a little bit about that. So I think that'll be fantastic. Let's just talk maybe in general a little bit about the markets and what we call the water cooler talk. There was an interesting conversation that happened this week, and this isn't a one-off conversation. This has happened a lot. So I thought maybe it's worth raising and having a conversation about.
Let me guess. It's the $1 trillion mark of Apple.
No.
Oh.
No. No. We can talk about that story. That's less interesting to me. I mean, it's a cool story, but it's less interesting to me than this. When people get into a situation where they're drawing down on their portfolio.
Okay.
So I'm having a conversation with a couple. And their portfolio is continuing to go down and they're concerned about it. So this was a second opinion conversation and it's going down. They're concerned about it. Is that a problem? They were concerned about it, but is it a problem? And so here's what I want to raise, okay? We talk often about how the rules change when you transition into retirement. And the rules change fundamentally because you're in a drawdown phase. So for most people's lives, they have been accumulating wealth with a singular goal of growth.
Yes.
And so we've been become accustomed to, other than, periods of time where it goes down, but over the long haul it goes, your portfolio value grows in value, both through return and contributions. And now you get into your 70s and 80s, and perhaps you're seeing that turn, or earlier, right? So you start drawing on your portfolio, we start to see it go down. Is that necessarily a problem?
So it's a very difficult experience to have.
Right.
And this is why we talk about the retirement risk zone, which is plus or minus 10 years from the date of retirement. Mm-hmm. How you prepare or plan and have the strategy in place in that retirement risk zone period, plus or minus 10 years from the day you call retirement or even semi-retirement.
Right.
How you structure that will determine how your future will be. And let me kind of paint the picture of this this couple that we gave a second opinion to. They are in late 70s, early 80s. They came to us for a second opinion on recommendation from an existing client. And they came to us with their portfolio and they said for the past while now they've seen it going down.
Yeah.
And the value has been going down at a rate that is not comfortable to them.
Yep.
And so they said they want to make sure that they leave a large estate. And so I kind of wanted to drill down on that. The first part of it is this estate designed or the money you want to leave behind an insurance to leave or a portion of money to leave behind for beneficiaries like your kids? Mm-hmm. And the response was, well, no. I'm not concerned about leaving a gift or legacy for my children. I'm concerned that this money won't last.
Right.
And we take, we interchange sometimes, or our clients and people we meet with interchange the estate value with, do I have enough capital or money to live?
Will I run out?
Yeah. Will I run out is still the biggest fear.
Yeah.
Now, these individuals that came to us are past that retirement risk zone. They came to us in their late 70s, early 80s, looking for a fix to the problem. And sometimes it can be repaired and sometimes it can't. And I think the hardest part is watching individuals see their money or the value of their portfolio go down because they're withdrawing. So let me give you an example. Let's say the couple has $1 million and they're drawing down $75,000 a year from that.
Right.
Assuming the markets do an average rate of return of 5 or 6%, let's just use that as an easy number, they're going to be drawing down more than they're actually growing.
Right.
And that's a hard thing for people to get their head around.
Well, and just to complicate that a little bit, it accelerates over time, right? The drawdown accelerates over time as you continue to chip away a little bit at principal. And that's where my first question was, is that necessarily a problem? Is that wrong?
Correct. So there are, remember we talked about those rules of thumb in the past and so forth, and some people still believe that they should just live off the return or the interest that is made in the portfolio. Now, with volatility, there are people who have poor portfolios, they're not constructed properly. The concern about that heightens. So if you're, like I said, if you're making 6%, but you're drawing 7.5%, you're going to draw in capital. That's hard to swallow.
Right.
But at some point, you need to ask, how many years of capital do I have left? And this is what I tried to walk them through. And I said, you have about 17, 18 years of capital. That's a lot of years ahead of you. You guys think you're going to live past 18 years. And if you do, then you need to look at the rate of return that's required to live past that amount.
Or the spending.
Right. Mainly, I'm the lifestyle guy.
I don't like to change people's spending.
Yeah. I don't want to tell them to just cut their spending. I don't like that. What I do like saying is, can we actually achieve your objectives in the way that you envision it? And so in this situation, it was very difficult for them to get their head around that they're going to be drawing down on capital. So when I showed them that they had, let's call it 18 years of capital left, assuming they put all the money in a bank account, earning zero interest,
mm-hmm.
and they just took the money on a monthly basis. Yep. They're $6,000 a month, and they wanted to spend it. They would actually draw down $75,000 a year, and I go, but that would last you for 18 years. Well, we're not going to live that long, is what the first response
yep.
was. And I go, what if you did? What if you lived 25 years? You're 80. You're going to live to 105. All we have to do is get a certain rate of return that can meet that, and you don't have to take an absorbent amount of risk.
Right.
How do you feel about that? Well, they were fine. They were comfortable knowing that. And I think the biggest error that people make when you're a do-it-yourself investor in retirement, or if you have an advisor who's not a retirement transition expert, they do not tell you how many years of capital is left, how much money you have left, how many years that pension can be funded for. And this is what pension plans do all the time.
I was just going to say, I mean, you think about, for anybody that's out there listening and has a defined benefit pension plan, or somebody, you know somebody that has one of those, what happens is those plans are designed to be drawn down to zero at life expectancy, right? So, you know, except if you've got a survivor benefit, when both couples are gone, that defined benefit pension plan is zero, right? So I go back to my question, is it necessarily wrong? And the answer is it's not. It depends on the objectives you have, right?
Correct.
And so what this couple was interesting to go through that sort of that coaching and exploration with them, because it was, yeah, but if I'm drawing down, I've been saving all the time. I want my portfolio to go up. Why do you want it to go up? Well, I'd like to leave something. Was that a requirement, or is your lifestyle the requirement? Well, our lifestyle is a requirement. Okay, so let's reframe the objective. Is the lifestyle objective of X amount of dollars every single month and a high probability of success more important to you than leaving something behind? The legacy bucket.
And so this is the problem. We've got less than 2 minutes left before we have to go to commercial break. Here's the fundamental problem of pretty much every Canadian, unless they're dealing with us, first, is the problem is asset dedication.
Right.
They are mashing up multiple objectives in one bucket and hoping it all works out. You cannot do that. You have to dedicate assets for different objectives, growing your money, your income that you need, your legacy, and healthcare if you ever need that. And these are the concerns that every retiree has. And so when you start to mash up all this into one big bucket, you don't know what that bucket's for anymore. You cannot do this anymore. And so I think you and I have a mission to re-educate the population.
That's right, educate.
And say, this is how you should look at your money going forward, right? Because we haven't been trained that way, so it's reprogramming.
Yep.
And then we have to then respectfully and within the rules of investing and the tax law, deconstruct your portfolio and reconstruct it in a way that you can live the life you want to.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, lifestyle is the most important for people, and then their secondary and tertiary needs as well.
Yeah. So if you work backwards from those objectives, then I think that becomes a lot easier. But it is a reprogramming or a re-education, as you called it. Now, We're going to be talking about that very topic and how to do that and some of the risks and challenges and the educational component that you talked about at our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, that'll be on Tuesday, August 21st, 7 p.m. at the Oak Ridge Co-op Wine and Spirits. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or go on our website to register by going to morethanmoneyradio.com.
You ever wondered what's going to happen if we go to a global trade war, if NAFTA gets ripped up? Well, stay tuned, because we're going to deal with that issue after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.